There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, and continuing our broadcast from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, not just home of the education we get from Ron and the great gift items, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. But Ron was essentially saying that these ETFs out there are a little bit like gambling. Well, Ron, so is guessing the number of pennies in a jar.
It is, it is.
And what kind of establishment are you running?
But they don't have to. It's you don't have to pay. Buy anything, spend any money. It's just a
settle
free
down,
guess.
Montgomery. We're not doing it.
It's all a free guess, and you can win something. So it is gambling, but it's gambling. It's just kind of like fun gambling.
That's
like
right.
If you're church bingo, where you're not spending any money.
Well, I say bingo, they'll shut those ladies down too. But okay, so once again, what we're talking about, y'all, is when you come by the shop, which if you've not been here before, y'all are?
2204 Government Street, Midtown, just down the street from Little Flower Catholic Church and School.
Okay. You come on in. When you walk in, up front, you're going to see this nondescript volume size. So it's not gallon, half gallon. No.
It's a very odd size that it was olives come in those jars, right?
You just messed it up. Somebody's going to search the size of odd size olive jars.
But it's an old jar, so they could find it. But of course, they can't beat the fillers. They don't know how much filler is in there.
So it's not solid pennies. There's some filler in there. Yeah. But if you guess the number, the correct or closest to.
Yes, closest to.
If they guess this, then they're going to win what?
Okay, first place gets a 10th ounce of gold, second place gets platinum, and third place gets silver.
Okay.
And, of course, the silver and platinum and gold, I mean, they can take the cash equivalent, too. If somebody's like, I got to pay a bill, we'll pay in cash right. What your winnings would have been.
By the way, too, and I know we're going to go to my buddy Jeff Stone from Stone Arms is calling in, but I want to ask you this. We talked about this during the break, and maybe Jeff remembers this, too. We're all around the same age. In the old Western movies, somebody flipped him a gold coin or silver coin to check out if it was real or not, he'd bite it. That guy bite it. And I asked you about that during the break, and said, and you would break your tooth.
Yes, and the teeth weren't very strong as they are nowadays back then either, so they would have broke that tooth right off. So they had ways to do it. Usually it was by hitting it with something, scratching it, make sure it wasn't a... They didn't really have plated items back in the Old West, so chances are, if it was a gold-colored coin, it was real. But there was fake stuff out there. In 1883, they came out with what's called a Liberty Nickel. It was basically the second nickel we minted. Instead of a 5 cents on the back, it just had the V, just like the gold coin at the time. So people gold plated them and passed them off as $5 gold pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a lot of it came from there where people were like trying to figure out, but mainly they scratched them to see if it was plated.
Hey, Jeff Stone, did you ever watch those old Western movies when they'd bite the coin?
Yeah. Still do. I love them.
Remember, like, and so I was asked Ron about that. He's like, yeah, and you break your tooth. But I mean, I remember seeing them be like, that's a good coin. Yeah, I'm going to go forward with that.
My wife and I watch Gunsmoke all the time.
It's, I guess there's some, I'm trying to think, there's got to be coin biting in Gunsmoke.
Yeah, I was sure, surely they did. Yeah. But of course, it was probably one of those chocolates with gold on the outside to make an indentation. They couldn't really make you could bite pretty darn hard, Sean. You're not going to make any dent in that coin, but you're going to break your tooth first.
Hey, Jeff, you wanted to jump in. We were talking about, you said the courthouse story here. Give us some idea here. You said you shed a little light on this.
So I've been paying attention to the whole thing, and I haven't heard anybody say why or how the rates have increased so much. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I've not heard any discussion of that.
Now, the rates on?
The rent.
The rent, you know, down
why
there.
Why did rent go up so much?
Well, and I will say, I will remind folks, too, if you go listen, now, you don't have to agree or disagree. I know the post we put on Facebook got a lot of attention, but Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt talked yesterday for an hour. He explained his side of it. You know, he talked about how much these things had gone up. Like,
did insurance come up at all? Because I'm willing to bet this is all over the insurance increases that all businesses, including the government is a business, have been experiencing.
Well, you know what? He didn't mention that, but I would like to talk about that. He did mention, though, and one that's near and dear to my heart and some of the stories we've talked about here recently, it's like finally I see these stories. I go, wow, I've been talking about this for a while. He talked about how much their electricity, just what they pay Alabama Power to run that building down there, it
that
gone
too.
Up. And
but
he said it's just
I'm willing
incredible.
To bet you, Sean, that the majority of this increase, these increases, are coming from the drastically high every year. For example, I paid $4,000 extra, had to write a check at the end of the year because my landlord's insurance went up. And this is across the board on all businesses. But it's funny, now that the government is faced with this, all of a sudden it's not fair and they don't want to pay the rate. Could you imagine if I went to a city council meeting, Sean, and said, hey, I don't think I have to pay my rent anymore because it's not fair because it increased, it doubled, it tripled, whatever. They would laugh. They would laugh you out of the building. But now it's a problem. They think they don't have to pay the rent. I'm just finding it interesting that I haven't heard anybody, no news outlet or media, talk about the why or the how or insurance being mentioned at all in this equation.
Well, if the commissioner's listening too, if he's listening, you let me know if it is. I'm sure that is part of it. I mean, we've seen that. Ron is sitting here.
Yes, insurance goes up. Our insurance is going up every year. So, I mean, insurance has been kind of crazy. I don't care if you're talking health, building, all of it's just going sky high.
Health insurance for people that weren't in like a company plan and stuff. People are going up by $1,000, $1,200
yep.
from year to year going yep. into this.
Exactly. And since yeah. Obamacare, our insurance has gone up about 30% to 40% a year, health insurance. And
sure.
of course, we didn't have any major hurricanes hit the United States this year, yet homeowners insurance still went up.
You know why? It's profit taking time.
Yes. Profit taking time. Hey, we didn't have a hurricane, so we're going to raise rates.
Jeff, so what, I mean, if we look at this, this is why I'm, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, are on a watch on consolidation. That's why I don't like consolidation of anything, of any group out there. That's why I like free markets. The three guys talking here are three small business owner, free market kind of people, because that competition keeps it right. That's what I would think in the insurance market for property insurance and those kind of things, that it hits a certain number, then, you know, XYZ insurance comes in and says, tell you what, I'm going to save you money. I'm going to come in here and undercut these guys. But we don't see that.
No, it seems like there's collusion somehow going on because the rates
aren't
about the same when you shop it around.
You can't get a cheaper rate. You can't shop around, especially for me, a gun shop. They don't even want to touch me, most of them. And all I'm looking for is liability insurance, or like my landlord, he's looking to insure the building itself. And because it's a gun shop or whatever, they just make stuff up, they increase it, and there's nothing we can do. All I'm saying is I'm hoping that this situation will help bring to light what small businesses have been experiencing, and maybe we'll get some help out of this, because now that, again, the government is affected, it matters.
Yeah, kind of just like this is what we've been telling y'all?
Yes, yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll have that. Maybe, I know they're listening. Lots of those folks listen. We'll see which side, I don't know, wins is the right word on this. But I think you're right. Just the fact they're having this conversation, Jeff, maybe gets them to pay attention to us in the free market that have to deal with this.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, listen,
all right.
I got to run, Sean.
Can you put a suppressor or two back for
me? Silencers.
Yes.
I got some information on some silencers that we got yesterday that people are going to want to know about. So hopefully you can have me back on soon.
Okay, well, yeah, and because I do my research, I'll just stop by the shop this afternoon and check them out as well. Here goes our buddy Jeff Stowe at Stowe Arms. Coming right back. More with Ron. We are here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. It's a Christmas show. It's your chance to get Christmas shopping done, get some lunch, and guess the pennies, and win.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Glad to have y'all along. And tell you what, I just gave one bucket away, and a pulled pork sandwich went with that as well. Bucket and a sandwich, and a guess on the number of pennies in the jar. But tell you what, next person come in, we're going to double it up here. Got the FM Talk 106.5 logoed bucket. Ron gave me the seal of approval. You like the bucket?
Yes, sir. Buckets are awesome.
And Ron is throwing in here, which I'll give you the seal of approval, the Openel. This is the corkscrew, knife and corkscrew combo.
Yes, sir.
This one right here. So 2 years ago, I think I bought five from you. Of these, five or six. I think there are two left at the house. This, y'all, the Openel knives is a gift. They're just, they're perfect if you're like me that maybe you don't remember you're going to have an event. Where, in other words, you can come in here, buy the Openel knives, keep them in the drawer of the house, and then you don't go into, oh, no, we don't have a hostess gift or whatever, yep. Panic. You're like, oh, yeah, I got it. Let's put a bow on that baby. Ready to go.
Yeah, instead of having to run out to the store and get a gift, you just open your drawer, pull it out, and you're ready to rock.
So next person in, we got the bucket for you, and we also have this Openel knife. This is one of many Openel knives.
Yes.
This is like, it's not like, the. If somebody says, well, give me the Openel knife.
There are so many. As a matter of fact, that we could fill the whole store up. When you look at their catalog, it's probably about 2 inches thick of just different Openel knives. So we try to vary it up every year with the different displays and the different Openel knives.
And there's collector knives, too, that people get into that. There's straight up like the number 8. It's just a straight up utility. It's the knife you want in your pocket.
Yep, and people use them as stocking stuffers, like you said, get out of trouble, jewelry are. Not jewelry, gifts, and like you said, things pop up and you didn't think about it, having that in your house, and you don't have to run out to stores. Until you actually have it and the thing comes up, you don't realize how great it is to have that in the stash.
Oh, it has changed my life because I've forever been the person that goes, oh, we got to go to so-and-so's. I didn't get it, you know.
Yeah.
So I have them, and what's neat is you talk about the different, like, stocking stuff. You get, like, a number 8 up to, I've given these kits a lot as gifts, and they are, Openel puts several knives together or tools together, and, you know, it's for the kitchen or garden, or you got different stuff like that.
Yeah, we have a barbecue set they came out with this year, and we have to reorder those, and they were sold out. We got like 2 or 3 more sets. I think she got 4.
And they're packaged nice, y'all. If you're trying to picture them, and you can see them in the store, they're packaged. It's just a really nice gift item.
Easy. You don't even have to wrap it. It's packaged so nice. You can put it under the tree just like that, and it would be a great gift idea. Very inexpensive. In France, they're everywhere. Anywhere you go in France, little convenience stores, they all have Openel knives. So it's a very popular item in France. So much as when we've had people in here, they're from overseas and from France, they recognize and were like, oh my God, we have those back home. It brings back childhood memories of their first knife as a kid was an Openel knife.
What's neat is, and y'all see them, they have their locking mechanism is different than like a buck knife or something. Their locking mechanism is
very simple.
Turned. Yeah, very simple, and it's very efficient. Okay, I want to run through a couple more things. You got questions coming at the ask Ron. Now, come on, don't freeze up on me. What are platinum and palladium doing now?
Platinum and palladium are both up, and it's a lot of speculation there that, of course, if the interest rates drop again, they're hoping that the housing market and the new car market will take off. And, of course, platinum right now is used in catalytic converters, and so is palladium, depending on the manufacturer, as a way to remove pollution to meet the EPA standards. And with new car market being flat, these companies aren't buying the platinum or palladium that they had been. So there's a lot of speculation with these drops in interest rates, not only will the housing market take off, but the new car market will take off. And it has a little bit. Sales are up on new cars, and platinum and palladium have been climbing. They're close to 2,000 now. And when you and I first talked about they were both under 1,000. They were trading around $700.
And this is the thing that helped. I mean, you've explained the other precious metals to me as well, but I had an epiphany with you with that one, because just like we talked about with equities, whether I'm right or wrong, if I get into equities, I think I understand why they're worth buying.
Yeah.
Right. I think I understand the thing that they may do or not do.
And then in 2009, palladium was trading at $200.
Right. But I'd never with the precious metals until you and I started talking. It helps me, I guess, you know, you could just trade it based on what's happening. But for me, it helps me to understand where the value, and I know there's a jewelry value in that, but where the industrial value, I guess, is what clicks in my head. So that made sense to me. I'm like, okay, so if you're making more new cars and you have catalytic converters, you got more platinum and palladium. Therefore, that value goes up. So that did make sense.
And Eric just handed me his phone. The Fed cuts interest rates for the third straight time amid uncertainty over labor market and inflation. So that should have precious metals even climb
Would they cut it by?
Quarter point.
All right.
So that's what we wanted. I mean, you got to have that. Because if they don't do it, then of course.
You got some platinum and palladium I need to buy before I leave here.
Yeah, people get nervous and they sell stuff instead of buy stuff. It's a crazy market out there, but that's good news. Thanks, Eric.
Are you talking about breaking news? I like it. Man, Cook's
you know, and breaks news.
Yeah, I know. Got multi-talented gentleman there.
On insurance, a lot of other questions about insurance here, about... Oh, this one, Pat says, I live 9.8 miles from the coastline on Hillcrest Road, and my insurance canceled me in May because I live within 10 miles of the coastline. They went from paying $2,800 a year to the only one I could get under 5K to $4,800 a year. Listen, I remember I had a house in Mobile that they canceled us. We got redlined. This is after Katrina. But I'll tell you where we lived. It's in the back of kind of in between, let's see, the Botanical Gardens, Country Club Village mm-hmm. area and back of there. And they said, well, you're in a flood zone. And I said, you know, this is the world of stuff I know about. I said, the elevation of the house where we are is 138 feet above sea level. I'm not in a flood zone, you know, unless Noah's yep. done come back, you know. Yep. And they said, well, you're inside this red line. And they do these things arbitrarily, like move people up. Well, you're near the coast. 10 miles is not near the coast.
No, it's not. I mean, you want real high insurance, get down to Gulf Shores or, you know, Orange Beach or those Correct. Areas. And I have a house down there, so I know. And it goes up every year, whether there's a hurricane or not. All of our neighbors have been talking, is it going to go up this year because there was no hurricanes and it hit the United States? But the answer is yes, it'll increase every single year.
Right.
The flood insurance hasn't been bad. It's been the actual insurance on the houses. It's pricing a lot of people out, and it's scary because a lot of older retired people I talk to down there, neighbors, don't have any wind or hail. They just can't afford it. And of course, that's a lot of your retirement money in that property you've paid off. If it gets destroyed by wind and hail, that's a big chunk of your retirement. So I always recommend, just like with this, people get the insurance, don't skip it.
Yeah, and it's a tough one because it's one of the least exciting things that you can buy
yes.
until you need
every
it,
year.
You know,
yep.
you don't go, man, I like to go out to the garage in the evening, open a beer, and look at my insurance out there. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I love writing this $15,000 check every year.
It's too fun. All right, what is the rarest American coin minted?
The rarest coin minted, that's a good question. There's probably a couple different ones, but the $4 gold Stella, and then we were talking about the 1933, pre-1933 St. Gaudens, to date have the records as far as gold coins. And almost all the record coins are gold coins.
So, okay, those are the most... Okay.
Well, because there's five of one and what, only okay, 12 then
they,
of the other.
Yeah, they didn't specify, but let me throw in, what about the most... regular circulated world, you know, pennies, dimes, nickels.
The stuff that people could find in modern change, there's stuff out there probably worth $500 to $1,000. We actually sell a book called Strike It Rich with Pocket Change. It takes you through things from the late 50s to current that you can find in your pocket change, and people have found it that'll bring you some money. Now, you're not retirement money here, Sean,
right.
but, you know, 100 bucks here, 50 bucks there, and people have come in and sold us stuff they found in the book, so it actually works. There are coins you can find, but it takes... You got to look at everything, and every time you get change, you got to look at it.
Do you scan like a computer every time you pick up change? You like go, you know what it's.
I don't myself. I'm pretty adept at knowing what to look for and look at.
Wheat pennies. What is the? When I was a kid, I was like, man, you got a wheat penny. I held on to. I probably got them, you know, in a sock somewhere. Yep. Like
99% of the wheat pennies are really just their copper value right now, which is about 5 to 10 cents a piece. But there are rare ones. I mean, there are plenty of them, especially in the teens. In 1931s, people think no big deal, but it's about $150 in very, very low grade. As long as you can see the 1931 in the S, it's worth about $100.
Okay,
there's plenty of dates people can find.
And you said this, and I've made a note of this as we went to break. So at some when are we allowed? Although. We've been mashing pennies. My son loves it. If we go to Smoky Mountains National Park or wherever we go, you get right. the dang thing, you put the penny in and mashes it. So I'm like, hey, boy, we're breaking law. Treasury come after us. Yeah. We're defacing currency. But you're saying now we're going to start being able to melt copper pennies?
They've stopped it every year because it's cost the government more to manufacture them, and they don't want the pennies to disappear.
I thought that was the dogiest of doge things. I was so happy to hear we finally got around to that one.
Yeah, but. So the bill that ended it allows us, as the citizens, to dispose of your pennies and for refineries and other people to melt them.
So how much of a penny these days is copper? How much is...
Well, in 1982, they switched from copper to zinc. So, of course, you want to get pre-1982 pennies to make sure you have copper, because when you sell them to the refineries, they get to keep all the zinc ones. They're only going to pay you on the copper ones. So you really want to save the pre-1982 pennies.
I got my work cut out this weekend. All right. Coming right back, we'll be continuing our conversation throughout the next half hour with Ron. Plus, Christmas market coming up this weekend. We're going to talk about that as well when we return on Midday.
Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Guess all the headsets on and we're good to go. Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And we're going to be here until 2 o'clock. But let me tell you this. Right now, the Guess the Pennies, which, by the way, the jar, odd size, possible stuffing in there to make the AI not be able to judge how many pennies would fit in that. That goes on. Even though we're talking about today, we're going to count pennies today, but that information is going to be kept in a secret vault, which is one of the probably top drawer or sock drawer at my house. But that number is going to be kept there. And then sometime right before Christmas, we'll do an announcement on the number of pennies. And folks are going to win. You've been coming in, filling out the forms here, and you can win gold and silver and cash it in right here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let me ask actually our guest now, Chris and Shauna, have y'all, did y'all put a guess in here?
I did.
She did.
Okay. Chris, you did not?
No.
Or you need to before
I
go?
Clearly, I need to. I wouldn't have a clue, but...
Nor would I, but I would just come up with, like, you know, and Ron said you can look at what other people guessed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To see if I'm kind of, like, see if you're even in the realm of
I think I'm pretty close.
Oh, you got it. So Shauna's got it.
I think so.
So not only are they here to guess the number of pennies, you're here today to talk about an event coming up here for the Central Midtown. What name of the event here, the Christmas Market? So what is Central Midtown? First of all, there's Midtown. Right. I mean, there's downtown, there's Midtown. Right. Central Midtown's where?
Central Midtown is at 1260 Dauphin Street, corner of Dauphin and Ann.
Okay.
And I wear a couple of hats, so I'm the pastor of that church.
Okay.
But then we rent space to about 35 artists.
Okay.
And about 8 nonprofits and then some entrepreneurs. And so that's Central Midtown.
Okay.
And they're in the building, but they're not part of the church. Right.
Right?
So, and this is their annual holiday open house and market.
This is and by the way, y'all, I guess either we're going to publish it this afternoon or tomorrow. This year's local only's Christmas list will come out. This is what got me interested about what y'all are doing. So you're talking about the number of people. How many people?
Well, the 35 artists.
35 artists.
Right.
Okay.
So the working artists in the building. Sean is one of them.
Very cool. And you work in what art, all art forms? What art forms? What do you do?
I'm a candle maker.
Okay.
So Hubble Hub Candle Co. I've got a little shop up front. I've been there about 2 years.
So, and I got to ask this too. What gets you? Did you grow up thinking I want to make candles?
I've made candles for years. My mom's a huge candle fan, so it started out as a gift hobby.
Okay.
But during COVID, I decided that I was going to get off somebody's clock and get
very
on my
good.
Own.
Mm-hmm. I've got an additional candle question for you in just a second. Mm-hmm. I want to get to. So that's one. But there's going to be at this event. There's mm-hmm. going to be multiple artisans.
Sure. Absolutely.
Working
yeah.
there.
Yep, yep. Working and also selling because, I mean, it just depends on the art form. But
selling is working. Working is selling.
Well, right, right. But some yeah. people have large format stuff that's okay. not always for sale.
Right.
And then like the candles or the pottery, some of the folks that are going to be around on that morning are definitely going to have small Christmas items.
Jewelry.
That are awesome.
This
jewelry, yeah.
Jewelry.
And, you know, and it's great that y'all are doing this. This is the great tie-in because, you know, this Locals Only Christmas idea came to me years ago, self-serving, because I wanted to make sure I had a gift that had some oh wow and had a story behind it and that they weren't going to get one that looks like that from somebody else.
Well, actually, we were just talking years before I was a member. I had been going to this market. Me and my friend, Margaret Lolly, her and I looked forward to it every year, so...
Because you were trying to get a unique yeah. gift that's
yeah.
local, right?
Yep, a local.
Yeah.
Gift. So I loved the place before I even knew I was going to be a member.
Very cool. On the candle making thing. Now this is, I'm way outside my reach and knowledge here, but I have heard some things. So, can candles? This may be a discussion I had with a lady the other day. Can a candle have a different smell before it's burned and when it's burnt? Like,
yes, absolutely.
It's okay, called... so I lost that. I said, there's no way. It's either smell like,
no.
And she said, no. See, it smells like this when it's not been lit, but then when it's lit, it has another smell.
There are three different smells. It's out of the bottle, cold throw, hot throw. So,
wait, yes. I would write this down. I would be impressive. So if I throw this out in the conversation, I'm saying, well, you know, there's out of the bottle. There's
OOB, out of the bottle, cold throw, and then hot throw. All are very important.
I'm going to seem like I know something now. I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, I've always talked about the cold throw smell versus the hot. So obviously, out of the bottle, I get that when it comes out.
Yeah.
Cold throws when it's not been lit.
Correct.
So make sure so I don't get, you know, get myself in trouble.
And it also depends on which what wax you're using, you know, the size of
smell,
the room.
I'm sorry, Sean, how does it smell differently when it's lit, when it's not?
It's the chemical compounds that are in the fragrance oil. It changes. It's science.
Okay. Science here.
Chris, just like wood doesn't that. Smell.
That's true. Okay, you're,
you know,
you're right.
When you burn it.
Okay.
That, it smells different.
Now you put it in some language I could understand. Let's talk about the event too. What time does it open?
Saturday, yep. 10 to 3.
Okay. Park right there.
Yep. Until we can't park right on Dauphin Street in the, okay. in the parking lot. And then we always have a relationship with the School of Math and Science and the Orthodox Church if we have to do overflow.
Okay. So you'll be there 10 to 3. And then. Mm-hmm. What about year-round? Is it because you're talking about
sure.
President? I mean, this is the Christmas market. This is great. But, I mean, if somebody wants to, if they can't make that, what's like the, is there a regular schedule? Is it every?
When are you open, Shauna?
So my shop, I think I'm the only one who's, I have a unique location. It's awesome. It's tiny but mighty. It's right at the front. It used to be a utility closet and then a coffee shop. And Chris let somebody carve out a door out the back.
Okay.
So it's really unique. It's kind of like a speakeasy entrance. You can go through an iron gate, so you don't have to go through the normal doors, which we keep locked for safety purposes, mm-hmm. and go through there, and you can come into the back door. So I'm open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 11 to 6, Saturday 11 to 3.
But this is the greatest thing. Saturday, come out, get to see everything going on, and maybe build a habit to come out.
But everybody will be open predominantly on this Saturday, which makes it very festive and special.
Excellent.
Sean, you can come anytime during the year. We're open, you know, business hours.
Yep.
But what I end up hearing a lot is that people will hear about it but not come. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, I wish I'd known because these folks are working and they're not always open to the public because they're working.
Right, right.
And so, and then people will just, you know, think that they can come in at any time of the year and see all of these studios and just kind of get a vibe for.
But this Saturday is the time to do that.
This is the Saturday to do it.
Okay, so 10 to 3. Is anywhere on the web if somebody's like, hey, I'm driving down the road, I can't, you know, I'm a goldfish, I can't remember something for more than 2 minutes, where to.
Centralmidtown.org. Centralmidtown.org.
All right, good
and
stuff.
And it'll just pop up there.
And we'll find out about out of the bottle, cold throw, and hot throw.
Shauna, me too.
Chris, you can also take a class for me if you'd like.
Maybe this is what we do. I appreciate it, and best of luck. And hopefully, I will use that knowledge and not get called out that I really don't know what I'm talking about. And hopefully, see y'all Saturday.
Thanks, Sean.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. We're live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Your chance to stop on by, grab some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. Open L Knife up for grabs as well. Grab a sandwich while you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. It's a harbinger of Christmas. When we're out here, always fun. Make sure you stop on by and check out the gift items. Also, guessing the pennies. Got somebody right there doing it right now. Come in, look at the jar of pennies, guess the number of pennies, and win fantastic prizes. Of course, you can see the breakdown of all that on our Facebook page. And then if you don't make it today, it's okay. We're doing a penny count, but we're not going to do the big reveal and the winners until right there before Christmas. So make sure you get by here when you can, on the way home from work or something like that. Stop on in, make that guess. And while while you're here, check out the Open L Knives as well. Oh, by the way, this is music. I was looking at this on our Facebook page. Netflix had enough cash to buy Warner Brothers but cried poor when we shared our passwords with our mom. Remember what I told y'all? Like, you were talking about consolidation. I told you all, nobody listened. When Bass Pro and Cabela's merged, I said, this is bad. We should have some antitrust legislation. The price of plastic worms and camouflage would go up there. This thing, too, you let Netflix and Warner Brothers go together. Just like the insurance thing we talked about earlier. It's consolidation. We've got to break up. It's my buddy, Ron. I mean, a lot of people didn't know about that. It's kind of in my silo, but maybe sarcastically at some degree. I complained when Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops merged. I said, listen,
yes, sir,
we can't have all the hunting and fishing equipment owned by one company as a retailer.
Yeah, you shouldn't have one of anything, really.
Wouldn't it be fun, though, to be like, what do you work on? I work on antitrust law. What are you working on? I'm trying to break up Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops. That's like if you're sitting at the airport telling somebody, I ought to just make that up. But yeah, what I do is I work in antitrust. I try to break up Cabela's and
people would be interested, I bet. You sit there and spin a yarn there.
Oh, my gosh. All right. And questions, too. We got more time for questions with Professor Ron, which I like a lot. Let's see. Which silver dollars do you all have? I don't know what that question is.
We have all the modern ones, like the American Silver Eagles that people are looking for. Actually, the young lady I was just working with is buying modern American Silver Eagles, and they're monetized at $1. Then, of course, we have all the older ones, from the Peace Dollars back to Morgan Dollars, Seated Dollars. We got some really nice old, what they're called, Bust Dollars. They had a Bust of Liberty in the design, and those are from the 1700s. So everything from the 1700s all the way up to current. So Bust Dollars, Seated Dollars, Trade Dollars, we have them all in stock. Not every date, but examples of each design.
You know how the coins that I've picked up from y'all that have just over the years. Angelo called me one time and said, you got to come in here. I've got some. And y'all, Ron's here. This is my detector here. He said, I got some coins from the Roman Empire. I said, well, you can get coins. Danged if they weren't coins from the Roman Empire.
We have some here today, too. I mean, they just like anything else, they get buried. people used to bury their wealth. There weren't banks, so sure. They would put them in a clay jar.
Yeah, way back in my kinfolk in the country, they did that stuff.
Put it in a clay pot, buried it, and then metal detectors, especially over in England and Europe, constantly are digging these things up. And many times they're just bronze and not worth a whole lot of money. But
it's just wild. It wasn't even like I've still got them on my desk at home, but it's to hold it and go, holy cow, who all held this coin?
Yeah, how many different people held those coins? And lots of them out there, and they're highly collected, but you can afford the bronze stuff. There are rare ones, but most of them are very affordable.
Yeah.
Because they're like pennies to us. They're everywhere.
Yeah, but it's not about the, it's about the, because I'm a history nerd. That's the thing is
you get into the silver and gold, and you start spending some money. The old 30 pieces of silver and all that. I mean, the silver, because there wasn't as many, just like in the day, most peasants and stuff, they carried the bronze. They couldn't afford a silver or a gold coin. And it was just like in today's date, the gold coins would equate today almost like $1,000 back in the day. So the wealthy people used those for taxes and things like that. Silver were traded more in commerce for business, and then the peasants with food and things like that nature usually traded in bronze.
That'd have been my jam.
Yeah, me too.
Where I was. What you mentioned, I've heard pieces of eight my whole life. What is that?
That's the old Spanish 8 real coins, to where they were cut into equal sections of eight because they didn't have change. So it was prominent in the United States all the way up till the United States passed a law that
said. So okay, we'll walk through the scenario. I come in to the. Well, I won't typecast myself and say I come into the saloon, but I come into your shop and I've got this silver coin, but whatever I'm buying doesn't cost the full amount. Then you start like pizza cutting it.
Yeah, they did in the day. They cut them into eighths, and that's pieces of eight because the United States didn't have change. We didn't have our own money at the time. We relied on the foreign silver coins. And you went into saloons, you always saw those balance scales they had up there. They used that to weigh the gold and silver coins and gold dust, things of that nature, to figure out what the tally was and how much they were paying, how much you had to give them to get your goods store.
But I've walked in already with the coin cut into eighths, or would I come in with a full coin?
They were pre-cut into eighths.
Okay,
because it wasn't like it was crack-out bars like today where you could just bend them back and forth. Somebody had to cut that, and there was kerf there too, so if you cut it 8 pieces out, because of the cutting process, they lost part of the silver. of the coin, they weren't actually an equal eighth either. So that's why they weighed them to see how much you were they were actually going to give you in trade for their goods.
Holy cow. Now I understand the rest of the story on that. You mentioned, so let's go from then to now. Something else that you told me about this year that had really opened my eyes, and they are, I only have the right term for it. They're gold, but their currency, they're
goldbacks.
Goldbacks. They're not currency. They're paid.
Well, their currency and illegal currency
in Florida, right?
In Florida, Utah, Wyoming, New Hampshire. There's quite a few states now. I think there's 11 of them.
But Alabama's the most conservative, business-friendly state.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Well, sorry. I'm sorry. We weren't on that list. Okay.
They'll be last or second to last. It's for whatever reason. It's such a cool thing to be able to do.
So explain like you did to me. A goldback is it's denomination.
It's very nice. Yeah, they start with $0.50 and all the way up to $50.
Is the gold woven into them? Or how's
it's the back. It's laminated onto the back. So it's 24-karat gold on the back, and the front is a nice paper design. And it tells you whether it's 1/100th, 1/50th, 1/1000th, how much gold's contained in there. And then when you trade those in those states, based on that daily value of gold, that's what the bill is. So a half-dollar bill might trade, like right now, $10 worth of goods over in Florida for a half-dollar bill, because since those were actually manufactured when Florida started a couple months ago, gold's gone up. So the value of those. So you don't just get the face value in trade. You get the gold value in trade, which is what it should be all along. Of course,
right.
The United States
without fiat currency. Yeah.
Yeah. The United States doesn't have enough gold in the world to cover our debt. So they couldn't back the U.S. debt in gold in any way, shape, or form.
Could we, like, so with these, I mean, and you've got them, so you give them as gifts, people have them, and then as close as Florida, like, what is that exchange? Like, do you have to have a. Are there only certain places to take?
Yes,
like, how
it has
does that
to,
work?
It has to be a business that's signed up for it, because they have machines that will tell them the current value of that note and what it trades
at. Does it scan it or something?
Yeah, yes, it does. And it tells them what it trades at. And then, of course, there's going to be a fee, just like any merchant. Mm-hmm. They're not going to give you 100% of the value. You'll probably lose a few percentage points on that. But, yeah, they're traded quite heavily in the states where they've been for a while, because in Florida, it's just started up. The merchants got to get the equipment if they want to trade in those and things of that nature. But coin shops, different types of, I don't want to call them head shops, but of course there's dispensaries over in Florida that are legal.
Right.
They're trading in them already and taking them. So you're actually getting something that's not fiat currency that has a gold value built into it.
What is, is there any relationship with crypto being so new? Like, you know, you have like, you look at dollar value, you look at precious metals. There's these ratios you've talked about.
Right.
Is there anything in crypto that shows, I know it's so new that, if one does one does the other?
There are some cryptos that are backed by gold, but they've never taken off, because just like anything else, it'd be hard to get enough gold out there to back Bitcoin.
Right.
But the total market value of Bitcoin, it'd be a lot of gold to back that. So it becomes just like the U.S. dollar. It's a fiat. Crypto is not real. Of course, some of those tokens are backed by things, and you can actually spend them for goods. And merchants, especially a lot of dealers around the country, will accept Bitcoin as payment. So it's just like a U.S. dollar. It's accepted in transactions and things of that nature, but it's a scary thing.
But any kind of like there's not yet a like you've told us about gold and silver ratio, or there's not like if A does this plus B equals C. Like,
and then not that I'm aware of, Sean, but I bet you there is out there. I mean, there's something for everybody with those ratios and what it would take to trade, but I'm not aware of any right offhand.
Okay, because like if Bitcoin going up, that meant whatever's going down.
Like, with crypto is a strange thing, because you
I know, trust me, I just opened my app there.
You have a lot of people trading in it that are the day trading in it, or, and it trades 24 hours a day. So it's one of those things that could wear out an investor. I'm a person that likes looking at my numbers and stuff of that nature. And if you're trading 2 in the morning, you could wake up and look at it. Of course, 2 in the morning during Monday through Fridays, you can look up and see what the stock market's doing overseas.
That's correct.
But it's not quite the same as crypto, because it's the same thing 24 hours a day, is beat you down on it. But I'm not trying to say nobody should do crypto. People have made a lot of money, but you got to have a strong stomach, in my mind, to trade in crypto.
It has, because let me tell you that it was not long ago that I was strutting around like a rooster. Was 123 or 124.
Yep.
And back up to 92 today, but it's been way down. But it's like anything, it's not. It's a hedge, small hedge in the mix.
It is, exactly. It's a type of hedge, and it's something I think people are going to get into it more and more, especially if the U.S. government gets in and starts dealing in crypto.
This government is very friendly towards it.
Yes. Yeah. I just hope they don't get to the point where they remove the actual fiat currency and we all have to do digital, just like credit cards everywhere. I think it would do total government control at that point.
You would have
a
revolt.
Thing.
I think you would have a bipartisan revolt.
Revolt. And they should, too. So we got to remember that because they've said other things that people revolt on that have changed and nobody revolted on it. People become numb to it over time and they get shoved down their throat to the point where they're like, okay, they're sold on the good points and not told any of the negatives. And they buy in and then find out all the, just like Obamacare. After the fact, we found out all the negatives. Up front, it was going to be a great thing. Man.
It's always perfect, right?
Yep, and of course it was not. Anytime the government gets involved, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, there's like one or two things I'll give them they did well, but the majority of them they don't.
Yeah, of course, if they're protecting us and military and roads, they do a pretty good job. But getting involved in health care and things that we already have out, like U.S. mail versus all the other options out there, it's not reliable. It's at least not to me.
Well, I guess, but the private sector is very lucky because when they have so much business, they use the Postal Service to deliver their packages private sector. As always, so fun to come out here. Folks, come on out. You'll be open Saturdays now through Christmas.
Through Christmas. The week of Christmas will be the last Saturday we're open, but 9 to 2 on Saturdays.
Good stuff. Thanks again.
You're welcome, Sean. Thank you.
All right. Paul Feinbaum on the way next.